number three, optimizing the customer base. We now have a unique selling proposition. Why is that number one, do you think? I mean, why didn't we start with customer base? That's right. Okay. I'll never forget. I met a prospect. I was talking to him, and I said, "So, why are you in business?" He said, "Well, hey, I'm in business because I like my toys. I like my boat. I like my snowmobiles. I like to play. That's why I'm in business." I said, "Gee, that's great. So why, though, are you in business?" And he just, same thing. You know, because I play. I make money to play. And again, I said, "So that's good for you, but for customers, why are you in business?" "Well, I don't know." "Well, then, I think I'd recommend just get out of business." "Okay." And you talk about the statistics where, you know, 8 out of 10 businesses fail in the first 5 years. I know that's a big reason why. They just really never solidified why they're in business. What is it that I sell? What do I do? And so then with the USP, you have to do something different that none of the competitors will do. Then we take that USP, we get it integrated throughout all of the marketing. We then want to look at all of the current marketing. Why would we do that second? Well, I mean, why does it make sense in the system to do that second? Because it's what's currently happening. You don't have to go create anything new. Okay, you're going to just take what's currently happening. So you're not going to ask your client to spend more money. You're just going to take what he's currently doing already and make him more money by implementing follow-up and by sales training, packaging, upselling, everything that's involved in project number two. The other reason project number two is positioned where it is because it will quickly get your client results. If you do project number two right, he immediately starts seeing more money. And that's why it's placed where it is. It's because USP can sometimes make it more money, but it doesn't really until you A, get it integrated, and B, use it to help boost closing rates and help boost average sales, see? And then it can start making money for your client, okay? So project number two is powerful that way. Now project number three, pillar number three, optimizing the customer base. If you're going to get as much money out of your customer base as you can, what's the first thing you better be doing? You better be capturing it. And it's amazing how many business owners we find don't even do that. They don't even capture the customer. I mean, they're spending all this money in rent and overhead and salespeople and all of that.
What does that mean?
Capture means record them. It means start putting them in a database. Okay? Start getting them down on something that they have record of that customer. Okay? And that's why we'll do the seeds with the terrariums, is so we can begin to build a database. Otherwise, Kmart owns them forever and ever and ever, and we have nothing. Okay? So we're going to capture customers. We're going to start recording those. Okay? And many businesses don't do it. Then, at the same time, you want to begin to segment that customer base. Now, there's a whole range of possibilities when you get into segmenting a database. And you could become a database technician. I mean, you could all of a sudden consult in database management. I mean, there's whole companies out there right now, that's all they do. is pay a company 5 cents or 10 cents, or they pay that company that much money to record that data and keep that database, okay, per name. Well, you don't want to get into that, all right? You want to outsource that, though, and if it's a profit center for you, great. You can get Paradox relationship databases. You can get all types of databases that get very complex in managing and segmenting these customers. You can get them so that all of, if you want to send a letter to all of the 60-year-old women who bought red dresses back in 1995 and spent over $100, you could do that. And that's where we're at. That's where database is right now. There's a whole industry now called database marketing. I spoke at the conference in Orlando, Florida in 1992. So I saw them all. They were all back there, thousands of them. All they were concerned about was database marketing. More and more the ability to concentrate on one customer at a time and know who that customer is, know what he's buying, what he likes, how many children he has, how much money he has, what he drives, and getting all of that into your database. Because the more you know about a customer, then it makes sense, the more you'll sell it, right? Okay? And now you then have the changing of these databases, and we'll get into that. But when we're talking about small businesses to medium-sized businesses, you'll find out that you can at least segment on any piece of software at least three ways. So if we're going to capture all these customers and segment them, we want them segmented into at least the past. Okay, those customers, and almost anyone's computer can pull that up. You can say, listen, let's get all of the clients that bought up to 1994 but didn't buy in 95. See? And all of a sudden you have a group of past customers. All right? Or you can take whatever time frame you want. What's going to be the second category of customers? That's right, the present customers. And then what's our third? Prospective. That's right. And with past, what are we wanting to do? We want to reactivate. Bring them back. And what is it you're going to go talk to them about now? And that's half the reason that businesses don't think about past customers. They say, what do I talk to them about? What is it? Your USP. That's what you're going to go try to reactivate them with. See? That's why you got to get a USP first. Otherwise, you don't know what you're going to talk to them about. So that's what I'm going to do with my past customers. What will I do with my present? What's my objective there? Okay, I'm going to try and get them through what we call back-end marketing to buy again. I want them coming back over and over and over again. Okay? There's an industry, it's called the CD and cassette tape club industry. Okay? This is all they do. It's brilliant. It's brilliant marketing. I mean, I thought I had control over my 14-year-old boy. I thought I know what he goes by, you know. But all of a sudden I found out he joined a tape club. Kind of out of the blue. I said, gee, so how'd you do that? Last time he asked me for my credit card to join the tape club, you know. I said, no. I said, we'll join when we decide to join. And then I get home one day and he's joined. I said, so how'd you do that? Well, all they needed was 6 pennies or just 1 penny on the thing, and I could tape it to the thing, and I've got 7 cassettes coming. See? Well, okay, if all they're getting from my boy is 1 penny, are they going to make money on those 7 cassettes that he gets? No, they're in the hole. They're in the hole a few bucks. But what are they counting on? That's right. this called back in. Okay? They're counting on X percent who will join the club and keep buying, keep buying, and keep buying. Very brilliant marketing strategy. What happens, though, is that most businesses cut their prices, or they discount heavily on the front end to get new customers, which is smart business if you do what? Do this. That's right. But most don't. So they're out of business. They say, gee, man, what am I running this discount war? That's all I do. That's all I do is fight this discount war. I'm going to be out of business. My margins keep going down, down, down. Pretty soon they are. Pretty soon they're out of business. Because they don't know the value of a customer. They've never calculated it. They just don't know. And so they think the value is all what's going to happen on that first purchase. And so they do it, and they get the customer, but then they don't keep communicating with them. Okay, perspective? If they don't buy the first time, what is it I'm going to have to do? And as I follow up, what is it I'm going to do? I have to educate my USP. Words, I'm going to have to teach them. I'm going to have to educate them some more. I'm going to have to talk to them. Again, tell them about my USP over and over and over again. And the reason for that is the concept of the moving parade. All of us, every day, parade our needs and wants to the marketplace. Okay, they're on display, they're on parade, and we are in that parade. And there's then certain vendors and suppliers that we then satisfy those needs and those wants. Just because I may not need and want what you have today does not mean I won't need and want what you have tomorrow or 30 days from now. I might be pretty high today and say, yeah, I got my best salesperson and we're just cruising along, we're doing fine, so I don't need you. It's a consultant. Well, in 60 days I lose my top salesperson. All of a sudden I'm not as good a shape as I thought I was. I need you. See? And that's very critical for all of you to understand as consultants, is this idea of the moving parade. And that don't hit the pitch and then forget them. If they're a prospect that you want, if you like them and you want to be with them, then stay with them. All you have to do is keep educating, keep teaching them according to the USP. And at some point, they might need you. Okay? That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah, and more education. More education, more teaching, and they weren't prospects a year ago, but now they are. Something happened in that year. We don't know, but they're here, see? Education USP. And then, if we're going to educate in USP, what am I going to have to do, though, to still get them as a client? I'm going to have to close again. I'm going to have to ask for the order. I'm going to have to ask to do business again. I can't just go follow up, follow up, follow up, and re-educate with my USP. I got to say, let's do business somehow, okay? So that has to do with the offer. And maybe we need to change offers. Maybe we need to do that. So optimizing the customer base is a very powerful pillar in a client's marketing. And you want to get that at your third step. You've been paid for USP. You've been paid for leveraging current marketing. And now you get paid for optimizing the customer base. Okay? And as the rest of this week, as we go through this system, there's four tasks that you do on USP. There's four tasks that you do on leveraging marketing. There's four tasks that you do on optimizing customer base. You take a week for task number one, a week for task number two, a week for task number three, a week for task number four. About 2 hours on task number one, about 2 hours on task number two, about 2 hours. It's all there, okay? And you systematically work your client through these tasks of marketing, okay? And this is the third one that you get paid for. I'll never forget, my brother called me from Southern California when he lived in Yorba Linda. And he said, "Rich, I had a neighbor come into my office and just start bawling because he's going to lose his house, lose his cars, lose everything, pretty much going into bankruptcy because Cal Gas was yanking his lease from his corner service station where he had two or three bays and sold gasoline on the best corner in Yorba Linda." And he said, "Man, Jerry, I don't have anything. I don't know what I'm going to do." Well, Jerry, having visited with the marketing consultant, his brother Richard, did say something to him. Said, "No, you do have something." And he says, "Well, what?" He says, "You have customers who have done business with you for 10 years. How many of them? 1,000. Okay? So Jerry calls me up from Yorba Linda, says, "Richard, let's craft a letter. We need a letter going out to these 1,000 customers because my neighbor needs $10,000 to secure his new location and start his bays again and start working. If he can get $10,000, he's back in business." So we crafted a letter. The letter wasn't anything but the truth. The letter said, "Customers, I'm losing my lease. They're yanking it from me at this corner. You're all I got. You've given me business for 10 years. I thank you. Now I need $10,000 to get my new location." So I thought, how could I get $10,000? I thought of you, my customers. And I thought of a very powerful way, a deal that you've never had before, so that you would help me get my new lease. So what I'll do is if you'll send me in $300 now, I'll give you $500 of automobile service over the next year. Out the letter went, in congrats. He's in business again. See? He understood then, finally, the value of a customer and how valuable they can be. I've had times in my consulting where, and you'll have them too, where the cash flow is not there. Cash flow just isn't coming. And I remember going back to a client that I did a good job for, serviced well, and said, "Listen, I need X amount of dollars over the next 30 days. And I said, "The problem is, this project that I can do for you, I know I can't charge you that much, so I'll give you three projects for the one if we can get the money right now." So that's a great deal. Let's do it. See? So you'll use your customers that way if you'll treat them right. And if you'll have a good relationship with them, they'll respond to you. Okay, and that's what happened with this situation. So optimizing the customer base is a very powerful pillar in the marketing. Any questions on that? Okay. Pillar number four, marketing alliances. What are marketing alliances? That's right. Two usually complementary groups who have complementary customer bases that could access each other's customer base and generate more business. Okay? That's a marketing alliance. Who's been doing marketing alliances? How many of you get a Visa bill? And inside your Visa card, four or five other companies. What's that called? It's a marketing alliance. It's someone else accessing the customer base of the Visa company and working out a deal with Visa. That's all. Well, if it's been going on that long with the big companies, small companies can do it too. And there's a great tool now that small businesses have that they didn't have 10 years ago that allows this to happen. What's that? What's sitting on their desk? That's right. Personal computer. See, it used to be that only the big boys, AT&T, could afford the mainframes that would run a database. Okay, but not anymore. Small business for a $2,000 investment can have the same storage capacities that the mainframes used to have. Okay? They can now hold databases, and they can now share databases with other complementary businesses. All right? So this whole new marketing comes alive for small businesses because of the personal computer. Okay? Marketing alliances. There are two places that these alliances are going to be found. Where do you think the first place a business ought to go to look for a marketing alliance? Where's the first place you ought to start to find one? Right in his customer base. Why is his customer base the first place he ought to go? Huh?
He provided a good service for him, got a relationship.
That's right. It's done. It's done. I tell you what we're doing with our professional employer. Salespeople, one of their biggest problems is doing what, Rich? What do they hate to do?
But
they hate to go prospect. That's right. They hate to go generate new leads. Okay, it's just one of the toughest things they've ever done. Well, his client's been in business 10 years. He provides a service of employee leasing, professional employer services. Do you think that within his 250 customers, he has customers that have small businesses as clients also? You'd expect so. Okay? And in fact, he does. So we just took a while to calculate how many there were, and there were dozens. And then started to ask, the salespeople have now started to ask how many customers they have. We're talking thousands, thousands, thousands. And then we craft a letter, which I crafted, that the salespeople showed to their customers, said, would you mind sending this letter out on your letterhead to your 1,000 customers? Endorsing professional employer services. Now what do we got working? What do we got, Rich? What do we have that's taking care of the biggest problem? Got leads being generated now. Salespeople didn't have to generate. Okay? Other than get the letter set up, get the guy to agree to the endorsement, and away it goes. It's found right within his customer base. Okay, thousands of new prospects that our client never even dreamed he had until we showed him the asset that was there. Okay? The hidden marketing asset. Okay?